ready to go.
Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9.07, overcast skies, 65 degrees in downtown Wausau at our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown. Coming up at 9.20, we are going to hear an exclusive interview. Very proud. Civic Media is still a pretty new radio group. Basically, about 2 years ago. In fact, we're coming up on August the 1st of the two-year anniversary of Civic Media purchasing WXCO Radio. And WXCO is one of the early stations acquired by Sage Weil and Civic Media. So again, it's been a very quick growth, a very quick process, but still not very long in the last 2 years. But Civic Media has become noticed as part of the media landscape in the state of Wisconsin. And yesterday, for one of our hosts, Earl Ingram. Earl, again, at the very same time that we have our show here on Bull Falls Radio, Earl has the Earl Ingram Show at from 8 till 10 a.m. on WAUK out of Waukesha and a few other stations around the state of Wisconsin. I've had a chance to meet Earl a couple of different times. The last time that I saw Earl was back in May, about 2 months ago, when we were at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Awards. And during the reception before the award ceremony, I had a chance to run into Earl. We just started talking and ended up talking for probably about 25 minutes, just about different issues and getting his perspective. And Earl is somebody that's been around a long time. He's got a very interesting life story, and he is passionate about issues, and especially issues concerning his community, Milwaukee in southeastern Wisconsin. And he has been somebody that has been just a fantastic teammate, co-worker. And every time I've talked to him, it's just been exceptionally eye-opening and exceptionally enjoyable. And was just thrilled when we got word this week that in, I think, the very first interview that President Biden has done after the debate last Thursday night. And, of course, it was not a great debate. But, as I'm going to talk about here in a moment, the feeding frenzy has been just completely off the wall.
Yeah.
But
no doubt about that.
But Earl Ingram got President Joe Biden for his first post-debate interview. And it aired yesterday on the Earl Ingram Show. And in fact, there was a text that was sent during my show yesterday. We weren't here yesterday. Yesterday's show was pre-recorded. But I saw the text and said, where is the Biden interview? Where's the Biden interview? Well, unfortunately, my show was on instead of Earl's show. But I thought, well, we got to get the interview on. So we're going to play Earl Ingram's interview with President Joe Biden coming up at 9:20. Before we go any further, before I actually talk about this feeding frenzy, I want to introduce our in-studio engineer, producer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad. TGIF.
Absolutely. I want to go right into a story, and you can add your thoughts as well.
Absolutely.
Yesterday. It was actually on Wednesday on HeartlandSignal.com. A very interesting story I came across from Jennifer Schulze talking about, it was an opinion piece. The Biden news coverage requires less hysteria, more journalism. And I thought, absolutely. And the thing about it's explained. A lot of different things are newsworthy. A lot of different things. Many, many different items. But not all of them are reported on. Part of what the media does, part of what I do, part of what we do here, mm-hmm. we choose what we talk about and basically decide what the news is in a lot of different ways. But when it comes to the president and the former president, according to this story, the lack of proportionality speaks volumes. That was a quote from a media critic, Jameson Fulzer. The news where the media companies, when it comes to Trump and Biden.
Well, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, sometimes they can get blown way out of proportion. Just, and, you know, you can't cover everything. I mean, the news has to choose exactly, you know, what gets put on the air and what just gets like a little blip. Yeah, because it's, but
number
you know,
one,
I agree. A lot of times that, you know, sometimes the Trump and Biden story gets blown out of the water.
Well, the thing about what's happening here, the journalism concerning the last debate, completely out of proportion. Yes, it's a story. Yes. But the hysteria about will he drop out of the race when they're last Friday, a week ago, or last weekend, I should say, after the debate, there were these breathless stories about how Biden was meeting with his family to decide the future of his campaign. And then it came out, well, this at Camp David. Mm-hmm. Then it came out, well, this Camp David weekend had been planned well in advance where the family was coming. There was going to be a photo shoot with Annie Leibovitz, and basically it was had nothing to do with a family meeting to determine the future of the Biden campaign. But by according to this story, which was a couple of days ago, the New York Times had done 70 stories, 20 opinion pieces, 4 podcasts, and 1 editorial about the president's debate performance, all in less than a week. And then, of course, you have a lot of misleading information being put out there. Jake Tapper of CNN, one of the debate moderators, shared a breathless breaking news 4-part social media post claiming that Democratic governors were turning against the president. Within 2 hours, Tapper deleted the bulk of the post, but not before it had been viewed over 5 million times.
See, that's why you need to be careful what you put on a social media, because you know, even if you have something on social media for a few seconds, if the right people see it, they will share it, and then it's all over there. So you got to be, that's why social media is dangerous.
And the thing is, you delete it, it's still there. People have taken screenshots, and up to this point, Tapper,
you know how long it takes for people to view it?
Right.
Not very long.
And then they start distorting information as well. So, again, yes, it's news, but it's all about clicks these days, I swear.
Yeah, it's just about, you know, the more clicks it get, you know, the more it sticks around than just, yeah. It's not about the issues anymore. It's all about the imagery.
Exactly.
I think I'm saying that right.
And the thing about it is, during that very same debate last week, it's been acknowledged that Donald Trump lied more than 30 times.
I've seen posts on Facebook about that.
But we have not heard anything from the major media sources in anywhere close to the same amount that we've heard about the president's debate performance. And so much of the speculation about what he would do, about all these sources that have turned out to be wrong.
You know, honestly, I applaud Biden for getting into the same room as Trump and just trying to have a civilized debate with him. And I know he was having issues. I know that, it wasn't his favorite thing to do, but he was trying.
Well, that's not even the point, really. The point is, yes, the president had a bad night. The president was not at his best last Thursday night. But that was not the only important news that came out of that debate.
Mm-mm.
And it has not been the only important news that's been in the past week. And it just feels as though these journalists have just their hair is on fire, feeling like this is the big story. We had this week the United States Supreme Court say that the president was immune to prosecution for any official act. That basically made them the equivalent of a king. And yet we do not hear 1% about that compared to Joe Biden and his debate performance. A debate! And as I said earlier in the week, Ronald Reagan had a terrible first debate in 1984. Barack Obama had a terrible first debate in 2012.
Debates are not the easiest thing to do. I mean, it's not just for President Biden.
But it's hard for others. I'm not saying that it's hard. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that a debate is one aspect of what you take into consideration.
That's right.
And that the idea that one debate will sink a campaign. George H.W. Bush was caught looking at his watch, had a bad debate. Again, these are all incumbents. And sometimes I think for incumbents, the first debate, you're trying to find your footing. Obviously, in the next debate, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Joe Biden to perform much better.
Mm-hmm.
But he's going to be on ABC, I think, tonight or on this week with George Stephanopoulos. They may air twice. I'm not sure. But he's talking to Stephanopoulos later today in Wisconsin. Let's see how he does. Okay. Yeah. But this breathless coverage has been way, way over the line.
Agreed.
Coming up in just over a minute, we are going to hear Earl Ingram talk to the President of the United States, Joe Biden. The time is 9:18. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9, 1230. Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And there's a lot of elections going on in 2024 beyond the presidential election. In fact, I want to just give you a quick note that coming up on Tuesday of next week, I'm going to be talking to Lincoln County Supervisor Elizabeth McCrank. She is going to be running, she is running, to take over in Assembly District 35. And that involves part of Marathon County and some areas north of here as well. But she is 35th Assembly candidate on the Democratic side, going up against incumbent Calvin Callahan. And we'll have her on Tuesday morning to talk about the issues in the Wisconsin State Assembly. So looking forward to that. But yesterday, again, as I said, Civic Media's Earl Ingram, just an outstanding radio personality, got a big get. He doesn't get much bigger than this. He got the President of the United States, Joe Biden. And first interview after the debate last week. So wanted to give you a chance to hear what Earl and the President had to talk about. And here's that discussion.
President Biden, it is an honor and a privilege to have you appear on the Civic Media Radio Network and especially the Earl Ingram Show. I have a few questions that I'd like to ask you, sir.
Fire away, man.
Can you speak to some accomplishments that we may or may not be familiar with about your record, especially here in Wisconsin?
Well, there's a number of them. For example, back in March, I was in Milwaukee. I announced $36 million for the Sixth Street Project to reconnect communities, helping families and businesses come together. You know, we built highways back in those days, separating communities, breaking up businesses, breaking up economic opportunities. And we're rebuilding them to connect those communities. I'm proud to be running for re-election as a president who's made his promises, and I've kept them. For example, I promised we'd get through this toughest time in history, and because we were left after the pandemic, which my opponent has absolutely screwed up, causing the deaths of millions of, well, not millions, but over a million people died. And we resulted in sending $1,400 checks to people who were in trouble. We created 15.6 million jobs. Inflation was brought down, it's continued to come down, and we're gonna lower prices for groceries and gasoline and the rest for our average people, and particularly in the Black community and minority communities. And I promise we take on big pharma. The pharmaceutical companies are ripping us off and ripping everybody off. And so now, for example, anybody you know who has a diabetes, needs insulin, they only have to pay 30, it only cost $8 for these guys to make it. $35 is the maximum they can charge now. And we set a cap that's on the law now, that the cap's at $2,000. All the prescriptions that anyone as a senior would need. And some of these drugs cost, or cancer drugs cost $10, $12, $14,000. And I want to do that for everybody in America, everybody. Now, that cap, 1.3 million Wisconsin Medicare beneficiaries get that benefit. More Black families have health coverage through the ACA, the old Obamacare, than ever before, because so many, as you know, so many Black families have pre-existing conditions when they try to go get insurance. If they have a pre-existing condition, they can't get that insurance. This provides that for them. They're able to get insurance, and I just increased that by $800 per person to be able to afford it. And in addition to that, we're building Black wealth. The result, Black wealth, excessive pandemic is up 60%. There's a hell of a lot more to do, but it's up. Black home ownership is up. You know, you build a home on one side of a superhighway that's in a white community, and build the same home on the other side of the superhighway in a Black community. The Black community home is all immediately assessed at somewhere between 20-40% less in value than the home in the white community. It's wrong, simply wrong. We're changing that. Black-owned small businesses are starting up faster than any time in decades. There's over 220,000 new Black business applications in Wisconsin alone. We're investing hundreds of millions of dollars in small businesses in this state. You're giving people a chance to start a small business. I promised to relieve student debt. The result is $2.3 billion in student loan debt relief for over 60,000 borrowers in Wisconsin, many of them Black borrowers. And by the way, HBCUs have, and their students are as bright as students anywhere else, but they don't have the endowments to set up the laboratories for the jobs of the future. So I've been able to provide, and I promised I'd do it, $16 billion just since I've been elected, invested in HBCUs. So they're gonna be able to put out the best folks in the world because they have the capacity to do it. There's a lot more, but in addition to that, anyway, I'm probably talking too long, but I come out of the Black community in terms of being elected the first time back when I was 29, and the source of my support, and it is, look, anyway.
You've already, President Biden, you've already answered a question too that I wanted to ask you. What's at stake for Black voters this election? I think you've done a great job explaining, what's at stake.
There's one other thing. Look, the fact is I promised that when I got elected, I would have an administration that looked like America. I serve with the first Black president in American history. I picked a Black woman to be my vice president. I've appointed the first Black woman to be a Supreme Court justice, who in fact is just as smart as hell, Ketanji Brown and Jackson. And in addition to that, we're more working in a position that we have provided for. I've appointed more Black judges, more Black women judges than every other president in American history combined, because it's important. Representation is important. They have to have a voice. and that gives them a voice, gives the black community a voice. And, you know, and there's a lot at stake here. I mean, I got a guy I'm running against who's embracing political violence, pledging to rule as a dictator on day one, attacking the right to vote. He's been attacking the right to vote since a long, long time. And he's going to make the wealthy and large corporations pay their, I'm going to make sure they pay their fair share. He's going to double down on tax rates for them. And he wants to strengthen, I want to strengthen Medicare and Social Security. He wants to cut Social Security and Medicare. Imagine what that means for the elderly black community. I mean, it just is amazing. And look, he is just, I'm sorry to get so worked up, but he is just, he's done terrible things to the community, and he has about as much interest and concern for black and minority communities as the man in the moon does.
We are going to hear more of President Joe Biden and his conversation with Civic Media's Earl Ingram coming up. But first, we have to step away for an information update. We're going to hear the latest on news, weather, and sports. I'm sure we'll hear in our Civic Media statewide news update about the president coming back to Wisconsin for I think it's the fifth time. I have to double check that. He'll be in Wisconsin later today, and there'll be extensive coverage on the Devil's Advocates and other Civic Media programs as well. The time is 9:28. I'm Chad Holmes. It is Friday, the fifth day of July of 2024. With you live from our studios on the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau, the Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Well, you know you had it coming to you. Now there's not a lot I can do. Dreamer, stupid little dreamer. Now you put your head in your hands, oh no.
Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And on the Civic Media app, the time is 9:35. Overcast skies in downtown Wausau. Temperature stands at 65 degrees. It looks as though, again, it could be a bit of a wet Friday as we continue in the midst of a 4th of July holiday weekend. And big part of the 4th of July yesterday for Civic Media was our very own Earl Ingram. Again, Earl hosts the Earl Ingram Show on WAUK out of Waukesha and other stations on the network during this time frame from 8 till 10 a.m. And that's another great reason to get the Civic Media app, because it gives you an opportunity to be able to listen to all the stations of the Civic Media network, some of the shows that do not air here on Bull Falls Radio. Be able to listen to those shows either live through the app or through the podcast as well. And yesterday, Earl Ingram had an opportunity to speak exclusively with the President of the United States, Joe Biden. We heard the first part of the interview prior to our information update, and there were still more as Earl continued to talk about issues. And also, Earl will be speaking about and asking the president about the debate last Thursday as well. So let's continue as Earl Ingram with President Joe Biden.
So as a person of color, I am excited about you getting worked up. Question three, I got a couple more questions, President Biden.
Sure.
A lot of people have been told or have the mindset that their vote doesn't matter. What can you say to them?
What I can say is the vote of the black community matters intensely, intensely. Look, it make up a significant portion of the American population. Who's going to represent you except folks like me? And we're not going to be able to represent you if you're not showing up, in fact, to vote. It matters. Your voice has to be heard. Lots of close elections the last couple of years, and every vote counts. Understand that for far too long, black community, black Americans often love their country a hell of a lot more than their countries love them, and haven't loved them back in equal measure. Because folks like you turn out to vote in 2020, we have made remarkable progress. The president is the most powerful office in the world, but we need someone with wisdom and character. We need someone who's going to make sure that the Supreme Court just issued a decision, by the way, that threatens American principle that we have no kings in America. There's no one above the law. That's what we gave Donald Trump the power to use a system that is just never contemplated by our founders because of the people he appointed to the court. It's just presidential immunity. He can say that I did this in my capacity as an executive. It may have been wrong, but I did it. But that's going to hold and this is the same guy who says that he wants to enact revenge. He wants to organize a coup. He said, I want to rule as a dictator. The stakes are really high. I know you know this. For democracy, for freedom, our economics, our economy are all on the line. And the other side is working overtime to chip away at your right to vote to begin with. And we're working harder and harder to protect that right to vote. There's so much at stake here. And nothing more, no more at stake than to the working class women and men of America, and particularly minorities, Hispanics, Asian Americans, African Americans. It really matters. That's what makes us who we are. We're a great country because we give everybody a shot. And he doesn't want to give anybody but his, like he said down in Mar-a-Lago, he said, you know, I know you're all rich as hell, and I'm going to make you richer. And they all put that, and then that's funny. At the same time, as I said, he wants a 10% tariff on everything imported in the United States, which experts point out is going to raise the taxes on average Americans $2,500, raise their taxes. Well, it gives a $5 trillion tax cut next time out for everybody making. Anyway, I don't want to get too wrapped up, but it really, I have nothing but an incredible disregard for everything he stands for with regard to the community.
And the last question, President Biden, let's talk about the debate. Can you address some of the concerns about your performance and Trump's ridiculous remark about black jobs?
Well, look, two things. One, I had a bad night. And the fact of the matter is that, I screwed up. I made a mistake. But I learned from my father, when you get knocked down, just get back up. Get back up. And, we're going to win this election. We're going to just beat Donald Trump like we did in 2020. We're going to beat him again. But we need all of you to get this done, all of you. Look, I came back I was in a situation where I didn't have a good debate. That's 90 minutes on stage. Look at what I've done in 3.5 years. I've led the economy back from the brink of collapse. It's still improving. We got more to do. I lowered prescription drug prices. I've worked with Republicans to expand veterans' health care. This is the same guy, by the way, Joe. He lived just about a quarter mile from what they call a burn pit. These are the size of football fields, 10 feet deep, to dump everything from human waste to pollution in there, and they burn it. And all those fumes, the reason why he came back, he went a very healthy man, came back with stage 4 glioblastoma, more brain injuries in that war than any other war, and he died. I'll be damned if I let this president talk about veterans the way he talked. Now we have all those folks who are around those burn pits and all those folks in Agent Orange. They now, over a million of them, now are getting the benefits that their families deserve. We only have one sacred obligation. That's to prepare those we send into harm's way and care for them and their families when they come home. And now we're finally beginning to do that. But look, here's the deal. You know, 90 minutes on stage, as I said, I've done this, what I've done in the last 3.5 years is, by the way, it's not quite, well, by the way, you asked me about black jobs. You know what he's doing. It's shameful. He's talking about black jobs, meaning all the things that blacks can do are manual labor, menial labor. That's what he's doing. That's how he looks at it. Name me something he's done to help the black community, give people a shot like I've done in college and education and home buying and a whole range of things. This is the guy who questioned George Floyd's humanity, led to the birthing movement against Barack Obama. You know, this is a guy who said Barack Obama, that black guy, he wasn't born in America, and he kept it going, lying like hell. Just like he lied like hell about what's going on anyway. But look, he's falsely accused of Central Park Five. Those guys who were arrested, he said they should all be convicted and they were innocent. He won't even acknowledge that. And by the way, I'm proud that I had the first black vice president in American history. And I'm proud to have appointed, I said, more black women in the Supreme Court, more black women in the federal courts, and circuit courts than any other president, all presidents combined. Look, we can't waste talent in America. There's so much talent in the black community. All people, my dad used to say, everybody just deserves a shot. It's an even shot. That's all it is, just an even shot. And we have to invest more in education. I plan like hell to make sure. Look, there's a lot of folks coming from broken homes in the black and white communities. But we learned a lot of through significant studies in my administration that if you have preschool at age 3 and 4 and 5, no matter what the background is, you have a 56% better chance of going through 12 years of school and doing it well. And I think community college should be free. It would save America money. It would increase productivity in America. Just give people a chance. And I tell you what, the idea that you guys are reporting this on the 4th of July, just a little bit, I'm so short of the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, is really important. We cannot let this guy win. It'd just be a disaster for America. And by the way, it's not just me. I'll end with there are 15 Nobel laureates, 14, I think, 14 or 15 Nobel laureates in the economy. They said if he's reelected, he's going to cause a recession, and he's let out what he wants to do the second term. He said he's going to cause a recession, and we're going to have a significant rise in interest rates. They looked at mine, and they said, what Biden's going to do if he's reelected, he's going to make sure interest rates come down, there's going to be a soft landing, we're going to be able to continue to grow the economy. The economy has never grown faster than under me, and we're going to make sure it does, but it includes everybody. We're unique in all the world. We're the only nation that's organized based on an idea, not ethnicity, not race, not religion, on an idea. And that is, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women are created equal, endowed by their creator. We've never fully lived up to it, but we've never, ever, ever, ever walked away from it. We got to get closer and closer to it. He wants to walk away from it completely. And I'm sorry, I feel so strongly about this, that particularly as it affects hardworking people in minority communities.
President Biden, it is and has been an honor and a privilege to have had this opportunity. I want to say to you that you're talking to a man who's followed you for 45 years, watched your career, and predicted that President Obama was going to make you his vice president. So I'm speaking for all of civic media.
You did do that.
Yes, sir. I'm speaking for all of civic media across the network, across this entire state, that we support you, we love you, and keep up the good work.
Well, by the way, as my mother would say, you're doing God's work, kid. This is really important for so many, many people. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you very much. That is President Joe Biden.
And that was Earl Ingram yesterday on the Earl Ingram Show. He had a chance to speak to President Joe Biden. Very impressive get, I got to say. I'm jealous that he was able to get the president on. But the president joining Earl yesterday, his first post-debate interview. So, again, wanted to share that with you since Earl's show airs at 8 o'clock till 10 a.m. on different stations on Civic Media. It does not air here because we are on the air here from 8 till 10. So, again, wanted to do that. I got a couple, little breaking news here.
Yeah?
The Wisconsin Supreme Court has issued a couple of rulings here this morning.
Okay.
One on a 4-3 vote The Wisconsin Supreme Court has reinstated absentee ballot drop boxes for the 2024 election. The conservatives had banned the drop boxes, but that has been now overturned, and also on a 6-1 ruling. So even not a tight ruling, even a couple of the conservative justices have agreed. The state Supreme Court has sided with Governor Evers on executing land purchases. The Supreme Court blocks the state legislature's ability to use an anonymous objection process to kill land conservation purchases. So I would say a couple of positive pieces of rulings, a positive news coming from the state Supreme Court. We'll have more on that as I take a closer look at these rulings and have more on that Monday morning here on this program. I'm sure that the rest of the day we'll have more on that as well here on Civic Media as well.
Mm-hmm.
The time is 9:48. The sun is just actually poked through a little bit here just in the last moment. So good news to see a little bit of sunshine. Temperature up to 65 degrees. Coming up next, we'll have our daily history lesson and have a final chance for Ian to have a successful week on our number for the day quiz.
That's right.
1 for 3 so far this week, so it's a make or break day for Ian Welsh.
Big day.
That's coming up here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. And again, you can also join us on our Facebook page, facebook.com and x.com, the Bull Falls Radio page. We have a video stream, and you can check out the video of myself and Ian Welsh, and also make comments there as well. July the 5th of 2024. Yep, it is the day after Independence Day, day number 188 of this year. There are 178 days remaining in 2024, and some famous events have occurred on this date in history. In fact, I gotta find the right day. Okay, here is July the 5th. On this date in 1865, the Salvation Army was founded in the East End of London. On this date in 1937, Spam, the luncheon meat, was introduced into the market by the Hormel Foods Corporation. On this date in 1946, a great day for men everywhere. Why? Because the bikini was introduced in Paris, France. Not because men wore them, but because the ladies were wearing them. So the bikini's birthday on this date in 1946. On this date in 1954, the King Elvis Presley had his first commercial recording session. He sang That's All Right Mama and Blue Moon of Kentucky. On this date in 1989, it's hard to believe, but 35 years ago today was the first episode of Seinfeld that aired. It's hard to believe it's been 35 years that Seinfeld has been on the air.
It's a long time.
In fact, when I went to college in the early 1990s at Eau Claire, I had this course that involved television. and had a group presentation. We studied Seinfeld. We did a deep dive into Seinfeld. So it's,
cool.
It was more of a fun activity and a fun class than anything else.
Nice.
On this date in 1993, a man named Dave Lampson of Centerville, Virginia, received a tax statement from the IRS claiming he owed $68 billion.
Oh, jeez.
He was told to pay $500 a month for 11 million years.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
An IRS official said it was a computer error.
Of course it was.
On this date in 2003 at the Wimbledon Women's Finals, Serena Williams beat her sister, Venus Williams. And 1 year ago today, 2023, Meta, the parent company of Facebook, officially launched Threads, a new conversation app that appeared to be the firm's long-awaited counterpart to Twitter. The app surpassed 2 million signups in the first 2 hours, Mark Zuckerberg wrote on his Threads page. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. Huey Lewis of Huey Lewis and the News is 74 years old today. Actor Edie Falco of Nurse Jackie and The Sopranos, 61 years old today. Catherine Erbe, actor from Law and Order, Criminal Intent, is 59. Soccer player Megan Rapinoe is 39 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And I will wish my brother, Clint, a happy birthday tomorrow.
Aww.
So tomorrow.
Happy early birthday.
Don't have a show tomorrow, so I have to say it today. So happy birthday to my brother tomorrow. Some special events being acknowledged. Yeah, of course, it has to be Bikini Day. It is Mechanical Pencil Day. It is Apple Turnover Day. It is Graham Cracker Day. It is Workaholics Day. All righty.
Final day of the week.
It is time.
I can do this.
Ian started off well. Got a W on Monday.
Yes.
Did not get it right on Tuesday. I should say on Wednesday. Did not get it right yesterday. And now is 1 for 3 this week. So that's where you should be.
Yes.
1 out of 3, 33%. We give you 3 different choices for the number of the day quiz. So based on the math, you should get 1 out of 3 right. Mm-hmm. And that's what you are right now, 1 for 3. But if you get it right today, you're above the threshold.
Yes, I am.
If you get it wrong today, you're below the threshold.
All right. I'm ready. What's today's category?
The category is library visits by Americans in 2022.
Okay.
I am going to give you a hint.
Okay.
Because the number of library visits by Americans in 2022 was a big decline from the 1.25 billion library visits of 2019. So wow. You know it is less, a big decline from the 1.2. And that's the wording. That's not my wording. That is the wording here on my number for the day. The library visits by Americans in 2022, a big decline from the 1.25 billion in 2019.
Okay.
Is the correct answer. 371 million is the correct answer. 671 million is the correct answer. 971 million.
Okay. I'm taking the hint into consideration. Okay, I'm not going to overthink this. So it was a big decline. So I'm going to go with A. I'm going to go with the least amount. That's my final answer. I'm going with...
The correct answer is 671 million.
Oh, it was the middle number. Oh, man. I should have gone...
Yep, so...
I overthunk it.
We need the sad sound effect. The sad sound. But there's always next week.
Yes.
We're going to get you back on the horse, get you back on the winning track, and start off on Monday with a brand new week.
Absolutely.
A full week where you have 5 chances, because this week, if you had that 5th chance, you might have got it.
Uh-huh. That's right. If I got the one right, it went on Thursdays. Pre-recorded, that would have been a good week.
Yes, but it would have been, but so be it. All right, well, thanks to Mike Clemens, our guest earlier today. Ian, enjoy the rest of your 4th of July weekend. Hopefully we get some nice weather here.
Absolutely. You enjoy it as well, Chad. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you Monday.
I got to get rid of this cough. That's what I'm going to do this weekend and come back 100% ready to go on Monday. And hopefully you'll be 100% ready to go on Monday as well.
That's right.
Stick around. Matt and Air on Air. Greg Bach is guest hosting today. So Greg with Matt and Air on Air coming up next. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230.